into words. You know, sometimes people say, oh, parrots can talk. The parrot just mimics what you say. So if you say a word, he says he's not saying it out of the thoughts of his heart. Because we are created in his own very image. If you look, read through Genesis, it keeps saying, God said, and God said, and God said. And then at the very end, 26, chapter 1, verse 26, it says, and God said, let us create man in our own image, after our own likeness. That means God has given us that power to say. Right? Just like he said. Why are our words so important? So if you want to put down points, point one I put here, the sheer number of words we speak daily tells us how important words are. How many of you are mothers here? How many mothers? How many times do you have to say the same thing over and over and over and over again to the same child? Imagine the amount of words that you use every day. I don't know how scientifically this is true. I remember Pastor sharing it. He says men speak about 7,000 words a day. Women about 20,000. Not because we speak, not because we like to be chatterboxes, but because you have to say the same thing over and over again before they get it. Even to our husbands sometimes. Can you please take the trash into the trash bin? You said it one time. You come back again. Can you please put the trash in the bin? You come back again. Can you please put the trash in the bin? 10 words. How many times do you have to say it? Like 10 times. That's 100 words. That's why women have to speak 20,000 words in a day. That's what I believe. I may be wrong, but. And for me as a teacher, it's the same thing in my classroom. You said one thing once, you have said it 500 times. But think about it. Even if you, I wish we could sit down and have a, what's that thing that you used to, like a counter to really count the number of words we speak every day. According to researchers, each person here will open his mouth an average of 700 times in a day. In those 700 times, you will use an average of 18,000 words. Those 18,000 words would translate to 54 printed pages in one day. In one year, an average person would fill 66 books of 800 words each. Or 800 pages, sorry, each. Each one of us in one year. Sometimes the words we speak are very flippant. We just open our mouths and just say things. And then you think back at the end of the day. I try to take at the end of my day, I kind of try to rewind to the different things I've done during the day. Imagine having to rewind the number of words that you've spoken in a day. No wonder Jesus said in Matthew 12:37, if you want to open to it, by your words you will be condemned and by your words you will be justified. So your words are either condemning you or they're justifying you, making you right or making you wrong. The second thing, the second reason why our words are important, people say sticks, the amazing power of words is, people say sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will not harm me. How many people have heard that saying? Oh, sticks and bones. And someone sang about it. I don't know who one of the famous singers did sing it. I remember when I was a young girl, I was one that was always very scared about getting smacked by my parents. So I was very compliant. They said sit, I sat. They said, stand, I stood. They said, jump, how high? I was really compliant. So I didn't get smacked very often. But I don't remember the smacks. I remember words that people say. And for me, I keep a lot of things that people say. And I can remember things that my parents said to me, either good or bad. And sometimes when we listen to things like that, you take them, they shape you, they form you. You may say, oh, it doesn't really matter. Oh, that person called you so-and-so or name. Oh, it doesn't really matter. It does matter because it shapes you. It shapes you. The Bible says, from where we've just written, where we've just read, that the power of life and death is in our tongue. Whether you know it or not, there is power of life and there is the power of death within you. Everything you have said today, yesterday, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, have been either life-giving or death-giving. And there is nothing in between. You know, sometimes people say there's black and there is white, and there's the gray part. In this case, there's nothing in between. You're either speaking life or you're speaking death. Not just to yourself, people around you, circumstances and situations around us too. The tongue has the power to kill, to destroy, to hurt, to maim, and to assassinate. But thank God it also has the power to encourage, to build up, and to heal. I'd like to look at some very basic things. So I've put it into two different parts. The right uses of our tongue, and then the wrong uses of our tongues. And then of our words or our tongues. So I might interchangeably use words and tongue, meaning the same thing. And then towards the end, we'll see how our words in the Bible, how words have been used for good and for bad, and how we need to set ourselves and set our lives aright. If we're called the children of God, then we have to model after Him. The Bible says when He says a thing, it is established. So think about it. I think when Brother William was giving the Holy Communion, we are called the children of God. We're called the family of God. We're His hands and His feet. So if He's given us that same authority, think about it. What I say matters. Sometimes we think, oh, it doesn't matter, but it does matter. It really matters. So we'll look at some of the right uses of the tongue. Number one I've put here, the tongue may be used for wise counsel and sound advice. If we'd like to go to Proverbs chapter 10, please. And we'll just pick up a scripture from there. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 31 to 32. It says, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. How many people here are righteous? Are you righteous? Are you righteous? You don't think so? The Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're not of our righteousness is not of ourselves, it's of Him. So I'm not saying righteous in feeling, oh, I've arrived, I'm high and mighty. No, but we have the righteousness of God in Christ. And I'm going to digress a little bit. Sometimes Satan tries to use that against us. He tries to tell you you're not righteous. Tells you you're too sinful to be righteous. But think about the price that Christ paid for you. The Bible says that He shed His precious blood for us. For you to pay for something, that thing must be important to you. Remember Adam and Eve sold us back to the enemy, and Christ had to pay the price. So you must be precious for God to send His only Son to come down and die for you. Because if you were not precious, He didn't have to bother to do it, but He did it. So you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. You are the righteousness of God. So your mouth needs to bring forth wisdom. We shouldn't be doing things that are not out of the wisdom of God, or speaking things that are not out of the wisdom of God. And then it says the perverse tongue. The perverse means the evil, unkind tongue will be cut out. Imagine having your tongue cut out. You can't speak. So I try to look at it this way. If I don't want my tongue to be cut out, then I have to make sure that my mouth is the mouth of the righteous that brings forth wisdom. If we go to 15:7, I'll just read that out to you. Proverbs 15, chapter 15, verse 7 says, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. We are the righteousness of God. Knowledge and wisdom should come out of our mouths. These are the two things that ought to be coming out of our mouths all the time. If you think of people who sometimes you go to people and you say, this person is a wise man or this person is a wise woman. It doesn't necessarily have to do with age. Some people are young in the faith, or maybe young people. But the wisdom that God has given to them, you sit down and talk to them and you think, wow, where does that come from? And then you meet some other people who are older in age and they open their mouth and you think, oh, wow, where does that come from too? But we want to be people that will sit amongst other people and they want to come to you because you speak in wisdom, because the words of your mouth are wise. You know, sometimes someone might come to you and say, I need to make this decision and I don't know what to do. And they just tell you what their problem is. And you say, how about you go about it this way or that way or that way? And then you go about it and you do that and you think, wow, how did you know the solution? Just because the wisdom of God is on the inside of them. Let us be those people. that would speak. One person that I go to a lot when I want to talk to, who I want to talk to, is my mother. She's only 67, but I think she's so wise. Maybe because she's my mother, I think so. I may be biased, but if I'm having issues, I'll text her or I'll call her and I'll say whatever is on my mind. And she just gives solutions. And you think, why didn't I think about that in the first case? It's very simple. Why didn't I think that? But sometimes that happens. The second thing, right use of a tongue, is the tongue can speak rebuke and reproof. When we hear the word rebuke, we think, that's bad. That's really bad. But it's not bad. If we go into Proverbs, we're doing a lot of flipping through in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 10 says, rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. Rebuke is more effective for a wise man. So if you're a wise man, so we've talked about the fact that we're the righteousness of God in Christ, we need to speak in wisdom. So we are wise people. If you're doing something that's not right, that is not glorifying to God, or even to yourself, someone can come to you and say, hey, Dolly, that thing that you're doing is not right. How about you change it? If you are a man of discernment, someone can come to you and say, my friend, I think you're on the wrong path. My friend, I'm not sure about what you're doing. Before you do that, stop and think. Blessed is the man who has a friend who's willing to come and give advice like that. We have a couple friend of ours. We've known them since we were about 16 or 17, and they live in the UK. This friend of ours would pick up the phone, and if we've done things that maybe he feels, okay, that thing that you've done is not right, he can pick up the phone and scold us and really give us a huge tongue lashing. And we can do the same thing with him too, knowing that we're not doing it just because we want to be vindictive, but because we know that their heart is pure. We're doing something that we shouldn't be doing. And we say, no, change, you need to change, you need to change, you need to change. It's just the same way parents will talk to their children. You know that your child is doing the wrong thing, or maybe you've done exactly the same thing when you were younger and it didn't reap you good fruit. You can tell your child, the way you're going is not the way to go. Speaking rebuke doesn't mean you hate the person or you want to bring them down. Sometimes you speak rebuke to get somebody out of the pit. You see that they're doing something that they should not be doing. You can bring them back with the words of your mouth. The word, the tongue or our words may be used for encouragement. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Encouragement. The Bible called one of the disciples, I can't remember his name, I think it's Barnabas, called him the son of encouragement. For Paul to have been able to say so. Remember Paul, with all of the different trials that he had to go through, he had Barnabas with him to lift him up, to encourage him. Because let's face it, times when he was scourged, he was beaten, all sorts of things, he must have thought, oh, this life of following Christ is just too hard. I don't think I want to do it again. It's too much. I really can't go through this. And Barnabas comes alongside. You can do it. God has given you a mandate. You can do it. Encouraging him. I've read this before. It says, any medical doctor or nurse, and I think, oh, Auntie Sully is not here today. Maybe she will be able to testify, or somebody, oh, Mama Stewart was the nurse, so she may be able to tell us this. It says, any medical person will tell you that when a patient is surrounded by positive, optimistic, caring people who build him up and affirm him, that person gets a better chance of getting better and will normally recover a lot faster than when you have someone who's by themselves or who has no encouragement or who has people who surround them and they're negative, they're critical, and they're telling them, oh, whatever you've got is going to kill you and all of that. But if you have someone around you who encourages you, who tells you the positive things, it says that even the blood, the cells in our body, listening to the words, and they grab it, and they start getting better, they start getting better, they start getting better. I never knew that. I just thought, oh, the doctors gave you medications, and then you got all good. But if you have those thoughts, you speak them to yourself, or people around you speak them and encourage and just lift you up, you leave the hospital faster than those who have negativity around them. Pleasant words literally bring health to the bones. How blessed are you if you have somebody who comes alongside and uses their words to lift you up? Doubly blessed are you if you are an encourager. How many words of encouraging? How many words have been encouraging this week? How have we lifted people up when they're hurting? Encouraging not just other people, but even your own self. Sometimes we beat ourselves on the head a lot. I have children in my class sometimes who probably they have a learning disability, so they can't pick up things as quickly as all the other students. And they go, oh, I'm so dumb. Oh, I don't know anything. Oh, everybody gets it, but I don't get it. Oh. And God has been ministering to me. When they see that, just tell them, stop. Don't bring yourself down. Encourage yourself. Even if you think somebody knows 4 times 4 is 16, and they ask you what's 4 times 4, and you say 8. Just tell yourself, okay, I'll get better next time. I'll do it better next time. Encourage yourself. The Bible tells us that David encouraged himself in the Lord whenever his enemies surrounded him. He will be in the state of despair. You can start reading some of the Psalms and it's like, oh, David is in the dregs. He's on a downward slope. And then all of a sudden he says, but I will rejoice in the Lord. I will hope in the God of my salvation. Things are not really right around him, but he keeps telling himself that. And when you read in, I think it's 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and the Kings, and you just see how the tide turns around for him. That's because of encouragement. I have been, for a number of years now, I've been having issues in my health. Sometimes I'll see myself getting really better and yay. And then all of a sudden it dips down again. But God has been doing something in my life. He says, just speak the word. Speak the word, even if you don't feel like it. Because sometimes you say things and you're like, well, I really don't feel like that inside me. It doesn't show that it's like that. But you just keep telling the word and you will see the word work. To be honest, I haven't arrived yet. Still a work in progress, but I know that the word of God works. I have to encourage. It's a conscious effort on our part. We have to encourage ourselves in the Lord, encouraging other people. A lot of times we look at it, I need to encourage that person. I need to encourage that person. But you leave yourself out. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Speak the words that you want to see manifest. Speak them to yourself. And number 4, the tongue may be used for witnessing to others. I won't have us turn to this. Proverbs chapter 10:21 says that the lips of the righteous nourish many. And we've said we are the righteous. Nourishing means that you feed someone, they eat, and they grow. You can use your lips to help bring people to God. You can use your lips to give natural spiritual nourishment to other people. In Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. And he who wins souls is wise. That means that somebody somewhere opened their mouth and gave you the gospel. Somebody somewhere. Maybe you went to a crusade. Maybe you listened on the radio. You watched on TV. Someone could have been praying for you and the Holy Spirit ministers to you that you should give your life to Christ. Somebody opened their mouth. It says you're a Christian because somebody shared the gospel with you. What have you been doing to become a tree of life? Where you work, at school, to your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, by your lips you should give good fruit that people can come and want what you have. If you claim to be a Christian and all you talk about is how gloomy and how sad things are and how bad things are, if I'm not a Christian and you're saying that, I think I'd rather just stay away from you because it doesn't seem like what you have is that good enough for me to come to. You find people who are really very proud, who are really arrogant, who don't know the Lord. They make a lot of noise, don't they? They say so many things about themselves. I met someone just recently and she was telling me how good she was at everything. She just kept on and on and on. It got to a stage I wanted to say, can you just keep quiet? I've heard enough. I know you're very good and that's good enough. But if you go around telling people how good God is, how gracious he is, how merciful he is, how the fact that you were in the miry clay and he brought you out and you can see the difference in your life, they will want to know the God that you know. We keep our mouths shut. You know, like the disciples, when Christ died and he ascended into heaven, they went out and they just spoke and they spoke and they spoke about the word of God. And what did the Bible tell us in Acts? He said 2,000 were added, and then 3,000 were added, and they just kept on adding to them. The power of your words. So I'll go through those four right uses of the tongue again. Can be used for wise counsel and sound advice. Can be used to speak rebuke and reproof. Used for encouragement. And can be used for witnessing to others. Unfortunately, our tongues can also be used for the wrong uses. Our words can be used for flattery. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17. It says, bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. Deceit, flattery. So for example, if I work with you, and I know you're not doing your work quickly, and I just want to suck up to you, like people say, oh, you're so good. Everything you want me to do, I'll kowtow to you. You say something, just because I know that if I do that, you will give me a promotion. If you tell me, oh, how about we fix the books? Oh, you're so good today. Wow, you look really good. Deep down inside me, I know that's not true. But I'm just flattering you to butter you up because I want something from you. How many of you have friends like that who come to you and say all the nice things and you know deep inside you because you want something that I have, that's why you've come into me. I'll flip over quickly to Proverbs 28 and 23. You don't have to turn to that. It says, he who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward. We've talked about using our tongues for rebuke in a loving way, not putting them down. And then it says, he who flatters with the tongue. Even when you flatter people, eventually it's going to come back and bite you. It will come back and bite you. The word tells us that you can smooth your way to the top. You can butter people. You can brown their noses. You can do everything. Tell them what they want to hear. But the Bible says exactly the opposite. If you rebuke somebody in love, they will love you more than if you give them empty, meaningless flattery. So you can use your tongue negatively just to flatter people, to make them feel good when you should be rebuking them in love. The second way we can use our words wrongly is for gossip. Proverbs 10:18 says, he who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Chapter 16, verse 28. I'll just go to there. It says, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Somebody who gossips. Oh, do you know what so-and-so has done? This is what they do. Don't tell them that I told you. How many people have played Chinese whispers before? Have you played Chinese whispers before? Oh, someone's looking at me like, no, I don't know. Okay, Chinese whispers. We play it a lot in school. So you put the children in a circle, and somebody starts with a sentence. So maybe you say, today is Sunday. So you whisper it into the ears of the next person, and they go, and you whisper, you're supposed to whisper all around, and it comes back to the first person. By the time the word gets back to that person, it's completely changed. And you think, that wasn't what I said. That wasn't what we were supposed to have started. That's not what I started with. That's what gossip does. I hear something about somebody, and then that person tells somebody else and tells somebody else, and by the time, it's like the story has changed. How do we do that? The small tongue, it lights the fire of hell. It turns people against each other. So much. Just one word can destroy families. My husband and I were just talking about a cousin of mine this morning who we don't know what she's doing. My late auntie's daughter. The mother passed away last year in November. But she just lies. She'll tell grandmother something, then she'll tell an auntie something else, and then when you kind of check your stories, it's like, that's not what she told me. How come the stories are not different? And because of that, it fragmented our family to a point. Because she would tell one person something, tell another person one thing, and then the family all sat down together, it's like, why aren't things adding up? Why is this person not behaving the way they should be behaving to the other person? Because stories have gone around that are not true. Just the words of one person's mouth. Sometimes even in families too. Like in our family, the kids know very well. If one of them comes to mom, can I have this? I just go, what did your daddy say? And then they go back to dad. And he goes, what did mom say? And then we corroborate with each other. Okay, this is it. Okay. And they know the stand. Because kids are very, very clever people. They can play you. I have come to discover that. A little child can actually destroy a home. I have seen it happen. I've seen a friend who the child tells the mother, daddy said I can do this and this and this and this and that. Daddy did not check with mom. Dad, mom said I can do this and this and this and this. They didn't check with each other. And then they started to fight. Why did you tell her to do it? Why did you allow? But you said she could do it. Words of our mouths are very, very powerful and very dangerous sometimes. Words must not be used for gossip. One thing we have in our classroom on our interactive whiteboard when you come into the class, and it's the thing we really teach the kids, because the children that I have in my class, about 9, between 8 and 10, they go to a stage where they can be really sneaky. You think they're so young, but they're very, very sneaky. 3 questions to ask yourself, the ones we have on our interactive whiteboard. Whenever you're tempted to tell something to someone else about what somebody else has done, ask yourself, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? What I want to say now, is it true? Is it true about that other person? Is it kind about that other person? Is it really necessary? Do I really have to go and tell them something about that other person? There wouldn't be any gossip if we use those 3 questions before we speak. And I'm speaking to myself too. Sometimes though, someone may have done something really bad to you and you're really, really angry. Do you go and sit down and speak to somebody else and say, so-and-so did this and they did that? And that's gossiping, even if they've hurt you. You can go and talk to God and sit down and say, God, that person that you created in your own image, after your own likeness, that is your child, did this and this and this and this, and vent all your anger out to God and say, God, I'm like up to here already. But it stays there. I find for myself, when I'm angry about something, I just talked about it and I just let it go. I don't know if that works for every other person too. And you just let it go and life just goes on. Instead of telling A, and then A will go and tell B and add their own little sauce to it. And then B tells C, they add chili sauce and what else? Ajinomoto and MSG and everything to it. And before it finally gets back to the person you're talking about, it destroys them. Our words can destroy. One other thing that the tongue may be used for is for lying. The Bible says that God doesn't like it. He says there's 7 things he hates, and he adds 2 of them are lying tongue and false witness. Like the Americans, when you watch their show, I don't know if they do it in Australia, to the police says, anything you say or whatever will be used against you in the court of law, da, 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 da. So you try as much as possible to keep your mouth shut. When they ask you questions, you find sometimes they ask criminals questions and they go, no comment. Did you take that piece of paper? No comment. Were you the one who murdered so-and-so? No comment. Because the lawyers have told them, if you say anything, will be used against you. Sometimes we say, oh, it's just a white lie. Oh, I just didn't add that to it when I said something. Even white lies are not unacceptable. We can't use the same tongue we praise God with or the same words to praise the Lord and to lie. And the last one I'll talk about is our tongues may be used to seduce to evil. Young people, it may not apply to you. I don't know. Proverbs chapter 5 talks about the lips of an adulteress. I'll turn to it really quickly. Proverbs chapter 5. It says from verse 3. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, her mouth is smoother than oil, But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell, and it goes on and on. Your lips can be used. People can sweet talk you. If you're a woman, a man can sweet talk you. It's not just talking about women here. We look at it generally. He says it keeps you from their pathway. A man can come to you and seduce you and tell you all the things you want to hear, how beautiful you are, how great you are, but then lead you down to hell. On the flip side, it could be a woman that may come speak to a man, says her mouth drips with honey. She knows the right words to speak, but they're not the right words for you. May draw you away from God, may draw you away from the wife of your youth. Look at Solomon. The Bible says God gave him great wisdom. And what did he do? He was seduced by the words of women. I'm sure those women must have told him so many flattering things. And he seduced him. He had 1,000 women to himself. How can anyone do that? You see men around. In our culture, it's acceptable for a man to have more than one wife. It is acceptable. But you find out that a man marries, his first wife is, you know of a truth, this is the person that they should have gotten married to. And then they'll do number two and number three. And if you look at number two and number three, sometimes, more often than not, it's really an adulterous relationship. You find that the woman must have told them something, behaved in some particular way to draw them away from the wife of their youth. And then in the end, what did the Bible say? The Bible says that it just draws you down into a pit, into the wrath of God. Your tongue, which is meant to bless God, can be used to drag other people down into sin. Don't do it. Even for young people, sometimes people may tell you, I remember when Brother Kenny Jackson was here, your friends may tell you, oh, there's nothing to it. What's the big deal? You can have a relationship with this person. He really likes you. What's your problem? Just date him, for goodness sake. Or if you tell God, just date her. Drags you into the pit. And when it's all said and done, you come back and you think to yourself, what did I do that for? Because somebody said something. Their words convinced you to do what was wrong. One thing I've started understanding is sometimes we say things that we don't believe ourselves. The more you say something, the more real it becomes. Really. If you have sickness in your body and you say, by the stripes of Christ, I'm healed. He took my infirmities. He took my sicknesses. I am healed. You keep telling your body that. It would respond. It would listen. If you tell yourself, I don't have money in my pocket, but I believe that God is my provider. The Bible says he supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He will supply your needs in ways that will just blow your mind. And I'm not just saying this because, oh, yeah, it's the right thing to say. It's what the Word of God says. I have seen it manifest in my own life. There were times when we just got married and we would look into our bank account and we'll go, ha, there's nothing in there. And Nigel goes, sent a text message in Singapore, can you check the bank account? It's like, there's nothing in there. Really, there's nothing. It's like, oh, really? It's like, yeah. And I'll just say, God, you brought us here. There's no family. There's no mom. There's no dad. You have to supply our needs. You have to do it. You promised it in your word. And somehow, he will. And he does. He always does. So the more you say something, you know, sometimes we go, I'll read this out to you. Idle words. Sometimes you say, I can't wait for that thing to happen. Oh, I'm dying to see you tomorrow. Really? Are you really dying to see that person? You know, we just say things and we think it's not important. But our words really contain so much. Really contain so much. If we go to Matthew chapter 12, I just wanted to use that really quickly as the last piece of scripture we'll go into. Matthew chapter 12. I hope I'm making sense. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. I'll start from 35. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So saying that about his heart is what comes out of your mouth. It's not what goes into you. Like Bible says, not what goes into you that defiles you. It's what comes out. Okay. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Every idle word means unproductive. Words that are unproductive. These are the words that you speak, but you don't believe them. For example, I'm dying to see my grandchildren. For those of you who are grandparents, I'm dying to see my grandchildren. You're just saying, I really want to see that person. That's what your heart is saying, yes? But if you say the word dying, you really don't mean that you're dying, but you use it anyways to emphasize the importance of the relationship. But you don't have to say it. I tell my kids when they go, I can't wait to go there tomorrow. I said, no, you can wait. You're going to reverse what you've just said. I can wait. I don't know if it is what this person had been saying. When we were in Nigeria, someone used to say that a lot. Oh, I can't wait to do something. I can't wait to do that. That person actually passed away. Oh, I'm dying to do something. I can't tell you categorically if it's because of what they were saying. But I'd rather not say those things. I'd rather not bring condemnation upon myself. Because the Bible tells me here, and every word of God is true. Word of God says, every word you speak, you will have to give an account of. It says your words will either justify you or your words will condemn you. So I'm sure the police force, this is where they got that. Anything you say or something will be used against you. I'm sure this is where they got it from. I'm very, very sure. Your words either justify you. Justify you means puts you into alignment, into rightness. Or it will condemn you, means it will kill you. So if you want the right fruit, what do? You speak the right things. Every time you say things that you don't really mean, you numb your heart. Every time you say something you don't mean, you numb your heart. If you keep hearing something from someone who keeps telling you, you're a failure, you're a failure, you're a failure, what happens afterwards? You just shut your ear to them. Well, they can say it. A child will tell you that you can keep saying it, but it doesn't really matter. But that thing actually will come to pass in your life. Every idle word is making it just a little bit harder to believe what comes out of our mouths. Because once your heart starts getting numb, your conscience starts getting seared, when you now say the things that you actually should be believing, you can't believe them because your heart is already very cold and numb already. One thing we do in our family now, I know the kids don't like it very much, they're getting used to it, is keeping ourselves accountable of the words that we speak. So sometimes if I'm not feeling particularly great and I go, oh, my arm hurts, I've given the kids the liberty to tell me, Mom, no, stop. Do you want the arm to hurt or do you want it to get better? Choose one. Okay, I want it to get better. So you need to change what you've just said. So I'll say, all right, I'll change it. And if they do the same thing too, they say, oh, I cannot do this. No, you have to change it. I can't do it yet. Because I'm going to get it. Oh, but it's too difficult. No, it's not. I am going to be able to achieve it. I'm going to be able to accomplish it. Say what you want to see. If you want to see death, then you speak death. But if you want to see life, what do? You speak the life of God. If we look at Jesus, and I'm going to wrap up really quickly. Jesus in Mark chapter 11, verses 13 and 14, it says, seeing a fig tree afar off, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And he found that there was nothing but what? Leaves. And what did Jesus do? What did he do? Do you know that scripture? If we go to Mark 11. I like it. 11 verses 13 to 14. He says, he saw the fig tree afar off. He thought there was food on it. And in response, Jesus said to it. He didn't say Jesus thought about it. Jesus said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples did what? They heard it. If we go down to verse 20, it says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So you can imagine them walking down, and then Jesus wants to eat, and the tree doesn't have anything, and he curses him, let no man eat from you ever again. 24 hours later, they walk past, and you can imagine. We remember how the kind of person Peter is. He's not just going to say, oh, Master, see the tree. Oh, goodness gracious, Master, look at that. The tree's dried up. And Jesus just looks at him, you know, very calmly, gently. It's like, Peter. Yes, I spoke to it. I did speak to it. Have faith. I spoke to it. So when you speak to it, it will happen. And I'm sure he looked around and must have been seeing the Mount of Olives and said, even if you speak to that mountain and tell it to be carried into the midst of the sea, it will move. He didn't just, I don't know how he meant it. He may not have meant it as a physical mountain, but he used that as an example of what they're used to. He said, he spoke to it. That really, I don't know, that really blows my mind, because I'm planting some things at home and they're drying up, and I'm thinking, huh, I better start speaking life to these things before they finally dry up. But it happens. People will tell you they've spoken to things before. They've spoken to plants and they start to grow. Someone did an experiment and they said in a greenhouse, they had some plants growing, and someone comes in every morning and curses them and uses foul language and does all of that to the plants, and they didn't grow. And they sent somebody else to just speak tender, loving, care words to the plants. You're going to grow, everything. And they did grow. Our words are so powerful. So, so powerful. I'm catching myself a lot of times now, not just to use very flippant words. And my very last thing is, the words other people speak to you are very important too. Not just the people around you. What we watch on TV, what we listen to on radio, movies, the internet. The Bible says evil corruption, evil communications corrupt good manners. People might say things and you think, oh, it's not important. My kids always call me the queen of binding things. If they say something, I bind that in the name of Jesus. I kill it in Jesus' name. It will not come to pass in the name of Jesus. And they look at me and they think, okay, she's going to say she binds that again. I said, well, I don't want you to say things out of your mouth that the devil will be able to take hold of and use against you. Bible says he's roaring to and fro. He's very idle, looking for who he may devour. The words of our mouth can allow him to devour us. Or the words of our mouth can allow God to be who he says he is in our lives. My encouragement to every one of us today is, look at yourself. Ask a friend to hold you accountable. Ask a family member to hold you accountable. If you're saying things that you shouldn't be saying, people should be able to come to you and say, don't say that about yourself, or don't say that about that person. Speak what you want to see into existence. Speak it out. If you want to see healing in your body, tell your body. Bible says God has given me authority over you. Listen, body. I tell my body that, and sometimes I think I'm crazy. I say, body, you listen to the word of God. And then I speak out, take the word of God, and I read it out. And my body is beginning to conform to what God wants it to do. I've seen children in my classroom. There was one boy I had last, and I'll use this as, and I'll close with this. There was this little boy I had last year. He was diagnosed with dyslexia. And he came into class. He had been telling his teachers in year three, I want to be in Mrs. Onomari's class. I want to be in her class. So I asked the teachers, can you put him in my class, please? And he came. The first thing he comes into my class and he goes, I don't know how to do this. I can't read this. I can't do this. I can't do that. I said, no, don't beat yourself on the head. We're going to work together. And we're going to be speaking life into yourself. And we kept doing that. He's not become the top A star student that's going to year five from last year. But I've seen great improvements. And he will come and he will show me, look at what I've done. Look, Mrs. O, I just remembered what she said. I said, yeah, it actually does work. The other day he came, he called one of the boys in the class and said he was a loser. And I said, well, we don't use those kind of words. Words would destroy us. And he goes, but my dad calls me that at home. I just cried. I just broke down and I cried. I said, Father, this boy probably doesn't have dyslexia that they said he has. Dyslexia is when you can't recognize, you see a B and you think it's a D. You see a P and you think it's a Q. When your words just get jumbled in your head. I said, maybe this child really doesn't have this thing. Maybe it's just the words spoken to him at home that's just destroying him. So we sat down and we just, when anybody calls you something you don't like, just say the opposite to yourself. And then he goes, Mrs. O, it actually works, you know. I was like, yeah, I know it works. This is a child who comes from a house that is not a Christian home. You don't, if you see people who are not even believers, who just know how to use their words, you see how successful they are. How much more we that are called after the name of God. And when you see Christ in the Bible, in the gospel, every time he says, and he said, when he healed people, and Jesus rebuked, or Jesus said, and whatever he said happened, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'll encourage us, just try and watch what you say. I'm really trying hard, because I talk a lot. I really talk a lot. But I'm asking God to just help me. Help me take stock of the words that I speak. Are my words giving life? Are they encouraging people? Are they even rebuking people in love? I don't want my mouth to be used for gossip. I don't want it to be used to tell lies. I don't want it to bring down people. I want to be able to encourage somebody, to encourage myself, to see Christ at work. And when we speak those words of God, you see mountains moved. You see lives rekindled for Jesus. And that's my heart. And I pray that God would just make this word real, big to you. If we want to see more people in this place, it's not just about praying in our closets. Let's call it out. Father, from the north, from the south, from the east and the west, the people that you have called to be a part of the family here at Zion, you bring them in, God. And he will. Parents, if you're seeing some traits in your children that you don't like, speak. Speak it out and say, God, I don't like that. That is not your will for this child. This is your will, and I will speak your will concerning this child. Like people say, you can't change your spouse. If you see something in your spouse that you don't like, you think, that's really not right. Just tell God. Speak it out in faith. You can mutter it under your own breath, even if you're at work. Wherever you are. Nobody can stop you from speaking the word of God or speaking the word of life. I said I was going to close. Yes, I will close now. We did a song in my school last year at the end of the term. Because we had issues with children calling each other names and saying things. And the song is by Toby Mac. You can go on the internet and find it. It says, speak life to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life when the sun won't shine. Can't remember the words now. And you don't know why the sun won't, but just speak life. It says something about looking into the heart of the brokenhearted. Watch them come alive as you speak hope, you speak love, and you speak life. May our hearts and our mouths, may they speak the life of God. That brings things alive and brings them to pass in Jesus' name. Could I have the musicians please as we close this afternoon? As we stand up, I just want you to make a commitment to God today and say, God, I want to use this list that you've given to me, the same list that I praise you with. I do not want something rotten, something evil, things that are bad, things that don't encourage. I don't want them to come out of my mouth. I make a covenant with you today, God, that my lips will speak life. And they will speak good. What I want to see established, I will speak it. As long as it's in line with the word of God. Let's rise up together. Amen.